sure you will agree that St. Paul is a great man, though little apparently in stature, with a big heart and a burning love for Christ. I asked him to make sure that I'd say the right things, because I think he would be very much in favor of talking about the subject we are discussing today, namely Catholic education, not about any institutional aspect, but Catholic education for the individual, who by definition is not in a Catholic school. We are here considering the multitude of people from the earliest years on through the universities, who for reasons that we will examine, are not in Catholic institutions and consequently are not under the immediate and obvious influence of the teaching orders of the Church and for yourselves, your own community. Evidently, the same basic reasons that should prompt us to be interested and concerned about institutional Catholic education ought also to motivate us to foster individual Catholic education. But I believe there is a new urgency, born partly of circumstances, born in my own case, from experience that I should like to pass on to you. You know, things can become urgent for one of two reasons, either because objectively something new happens, or because subjectively we suddenly realize that what was always there really is creating a problem. I think both are true here. Either there is both an objective urgency created by circumstances we shall describe, and in the Church, people, humbly like myself, who are being used as guinea pigs by their own communities to explore the needs and the possibilities for the Church in the future. First, the extent, variety, and motives that should impel us to become concerned over the millions in the United States who have not and will not have the opportunity of spending a single day inside of a Catholic school. The total number is only estimated. We are not sure. It is at least 5 million. It may be over 7 million. The largest number, absolutely, of course, is in the lower grades. Surprisingly, perhaps, because we suppose that most Catholic children are in Catholic grammar schools. They are not. The second highest percentage is in, of course, the secondary schools. The largest absolute percentage is in colleges and universities. Far more important, however, than numbers is the reason why these persons do not attend Catholic schools. They know they exist. Their parents and they themselves have been reminded year after year, yet they don't attend. These reasons are a reflection, first of all, of their faith, and sometimes lack of it. Reflection of economic and social conditions in our country. But above all, I think, of certain attitudes of mind that Catholic teachers have not sufficiently considered in their understandable involvement in the institutional form of church-affiliated education. Almost everything we learn, practically everything we touch, urges us to become involved in institutions, and consequently the whole complex of our mind is geared in that direction. What are some of these reasons? One reason is undoubtedly money. This applies especially to college and university schools, but may also be true of high schools and to a certain extent of elementary grades. In other words, Catholic education is supposed to be more expensive. Given Catholics who, first of all, come from the lower financial brackets of our country, given that Catholics, as a rule, have larger families, given the economic monism of our country, where there is no allowance made for larger families, understandably, financial pressures explain some of the imbalance in so many millions not going to Catholic schools. However, I am not impressed by the financial reasons normally given why Catholic schools are not better patronized, or, what is more crucial, more developed. I am most certain, because I am most familiar with the university scene. The picture is clearest because the expense is most obvious. But a few comparative figures will be revealing. As a rule, secular colleges that are not state-operated have a much higher tuition than Catholic institutions on the same level and in the same locality. New York University right now, with some 40,000 enrollments, has over 10,000 Catholics. Its tuition is about twice that of Fordham University in the same city. Seton Hall University in New Jersey, I just checked it this morning, has an annual tuition of 700. Princeton University in New Jersey has a current tuition of $1,770, over twice as high. DePaul University in Chicago charges $816 annually. Chicago University, which has several thousand Catholics, has a tuition of $1,710. Even state universities, although their rates are generally lower for in-state students, what they charge. Nevertheless, for all out-of-state students, thousands of whom are Catholics, the rates are about the same and sometimes higher than for Catholic institutions. A more cogent reason is that secular schools are preferred because no Catholic institutions are available. This is particularly true, say, in grammar and secondary schools. In some dioceses, for example, the school buildings have been erected, but for lacking personnel to staff them, they remain closed. One of the largest dioceses in the country has right now, I think, four closed Catholic schools because there is no one to teach in them. Elsewhere, the tradition has simply been to send children to secular schools, and no great effort is made to change the situation. But the absence of availability, either of schools or of personnel to staff them, is certain. One reason why many Catholics do not go to Catholic schools. Still again, Catholic schools are or could be made available, but, and this is the crucial one, they are not often attended by choice. Why not? Maybe most of them, certainly many of these cases, involve a mixed marriage, where the non-Catholic party just refuses to send his children to a Catholic school. Remember a couple of years ago I was lecturing in Baltimore and was there met by a Catholic woman with five children, married to a Baptist minister, who, understandably, what else could she expect? He insisted that the children not go to Catholic schools. She asked me, could I help? In other cases, there is a problem of transportation. which happily is being solved in many states. This morning's paper reports the Ohio Senate passed the bus bill, but the House must still be passed by. Pray. Or facilities are lacking, but too often play happily. And education under church auspices is simply not taken seriously. And too frequently because of the indifference of the clergy, who want Catholic schools in principle, but for reasons often best known to themselves, take few steps to implement them. The most serious reason, however, is where secular schools are deliberately and preferentially chosen. Many of the things we have talked about, especially yesterday, are reflections in my own mind of this attitude, where secular education is chosen on principle in preference to church affiliation. There is the obvious factor of pluralism. In other words, children going to non-Catholic institutions will, and this is simply true, will be in direct contact with people of other affiliations or of none, and will thereby, so it is felt, be better equipped to live in a very pluralistic society. The subjects they take, the teachers under whom they study, are men and women who are part of a world for which, presumably, these youngsters are being taught. Then, the fear of indoctrination. I believe 4 out of 5 graduates of Catholic schools who come to a state university have told me I felt that 12 years of indoctrination was enough. Then again, the charge of Catholic schools being unrealistic. And their unrealism, so they tell me, is symbolized in the very habit we wear. But I was asked, almost under duress, not to wear clerical garb in teaching at the university. In this case, the apostolic delegate said, either you teach in your priestly garb or you don't teach. So I'm teaching in priestly garb. But what we wear, if nothing else, is symbolic to a world that does not share our principles of the unrealism, the out there world in which we live, that dreamland about which they read, but have no concept of, and with which they identify us. I believe there is just enough truth to these warnings, especially the latter ones, to have us take them seriously and to warrant soul-searching self-analysis, both to improve our existing institutional Catholic education, and please God, and this is a prayer, please God, more and more religious communities will become concerned for individual and not only institutional education. In terms of our responsibility, we could, of course, elaborate on this picture from every possible angle. I could belabor you with pages of statistics. But maybe the Church's responsibility towards these multi-million Catholics is too clear to be questioned. Nobody does it. However, many have questioned it, at least in practice, if not in principle, as is clear from all kinds of facts. For example, few dioceses even now have a strong CCD program. And even those where it is fairly strong, the program, as such, is a fairly recent innovation, as most of the sisters will agree. High school students, largely untouched at least effectively, by any kind of confraternity of Christian doctrine program, are only fractionally assisted by any kind of church-sponsored religious instruction. They either don't come, or couldn't be less interested, or simply are not even spoken to. And at the highest level in colleges and universities, the situation is so bleak, you must be part of it to believe it. The so-called Newman program at secular universities touches, in most colleges and universities, 20 or less, sometimes than 10% of the Catholics attending these institutions. There are currently about 1,600 secular colleges and universities in the United States. Their Catholic enrollment in the year just finished was about 850,000, 72% of the national total. Only 28% of Catholics were in Catholic colleges. By 1980, it is calculated 90% of all American Catholics will be in secular universities. Yet, we have less than 250 priests full-time devoted to almost 1 million Catholics, the potential leaders of our nation. Our responsibility, then, as religious, dedicated to teaching, extends to all Catholics, wherever they may be. Why so? First of all, the Church, in its highest authority, wants it. In fact, it has legislated in canon law. This, in fact, was one of the main concerns of St. Pius X, the founder, as you know, of the modern CCD, whose concern was so great that he dedicated most of his pontificate to, as he said, instructing Catholics in their faith. Because, and this is correct, most Catholics, he believed, do not live when they don't live up to their faith. And millions don't. Not because they're malicious, or even, he said, because they're so weak. They are just plain ignorant. Moreover, the souls redeemed by Christ who are not in Catholic schools need it. Need this instruction desperately. Their ignorance of the faith and its duties is often abysmal. Did you find children in Catholic schools sometimes less than intelligent about their faith? Multiply or divide, as the case may be, by 10, and you have some idea about little of the fundamentals of their religion. These young people and sometimes college people know. Most of my Catholic students at the university who have little formal Catholic education, for example, believe, almost all of them, until, and I've got only a fraction of them in my classes, believe honestly that two non-Catholics, when they marry, legally are not married validly in the eyes of the Church. And that consequently, they Catholics can marry any divorced non-Catholic. This is almost universally believed by the Catholics that I have been teaching. I try, of course, to enlighten them, but incidentally, by that time, they are often deeply involved already. Beyond the Church's authoritative insistence and the grave need of souls, is the need of American society itself. The number of juvenile delinquents, and often juvenile criminals, is horrifying, and it's growing constantly. And we don't like to admit this, but the percentage of Catholics among them mainly in or products of public schools, is way above their average in the national population. I don't pretend to explain it, I'm merely stating a fact. To meet this responsibility on every level will take more reassessment than most Catholic educators, most bishops, and major religious superiors are presently ready, I hate to say willing, to make. The largest psychological obstacle is the familiar one of fearing that established Catholic institutions will suffer. This, of course, is our built-in pragmatism. We have a good thing. We've achieved monumentally in the last 100 years in the United States. We ourselves, as the showing of hands showed yesterday, are mainly the product of Catholic schools. Nevertheless, I do not think that a generous and forthright involvement in religious institutes, teaching outside of Catholic institutions, will seriously undercut our present school system, which, let me repeat, I think we need, I mean the school system, must foster, must develop. This is not, as I've so often been challenged, especially by my Jesuit brethren, it is not an either-or proposition. Nobody in his right mind should question the validity of the Catholic school system. It is not either or, it is also. I believe that where a real need of souls exists, and nobody should question this, the Holy Spirit will protect our existing school system and will not permit the loss of what is so obviously good for the Church. In fact, we'll bless our trust in divine providence way beyond our fondest expectations. This is pure faith and sheer hope. This cannot be proved statistically. All the money and the buildings and the available manpower are against it. This is faith. But of course, I am speaking to people who have the faith. As I had occasion to tell my Jesuit brethren in the East last fall, let us not, I said, be defenders of the status quo. This trust in providence may be illustrated in many ways. One that I have some small inkling of because it's such an obvious way. And that is in the potential vocations among students in secular institutions. You know, your showing of hands yesterday proved more than you thought. It both proved, as we all recognized, that most present vocations come from Catholic schools. It also proved that the Holy Spirit surely must be inviting thousands of men and women who are not in Catholic institutions. These people simply have not responded, and mainly because there was no one around to invite them. And there are some marvelous vocations among those young men and women. For example, just this past year, in fact this past semester, 4 vocations have developed among the students that have on their own invitation entered my office. I did go in search of them. I'll mention their first names. Lori, a girl of course. Michael, also a girl incidentally. Thomas and Kenneth. Michael has been teaching in public schools for several years, graduated just this June from the university. She is entering a religious community of women already accepted. Lori is a junior. She has been accepted by another religious community. Tom and Kim just got their MA June the 10th of this year. They are both entering the Franciscans. There are vocations among these people. Before leaving this subject, we have to leave it now in a couple of minutes. I would like to combine two things in your minds that over the years I have found so valuable to join together. Providence on the part of God and prudence on the part of man. In other words, where God really wants something, we may trust that he will give us the supernatural know-how of how to achieve it. And I think all we've got to do is stare long enough at these figures. Just as I borrowed from your library, get a copy of the Catholic Almanac and just read the figures and see the disproportion between the always getting lower and lower percentage in numbers of those in Catholic institutions and the rising tide in secular schools. And if you've got any heart to you, you want to do something. But among the things that I think especially need emphasis is the type and kind of student that we are not getting. Now I know, and of course, we comfort ourselves that the best students come to Catholic schools. Naturally. Because we went to Catholic schools. That is not only not universally true, it is, I fear, becoming less and less true. Because among the qualities of nature that I have seen and was saddened by, because I saw so little chance to develop these potentialities. Usually, the most critical minds, the most incisive intellects, the most aggressive personalities, the born leaders, those who fear the conformism which they have, I think, mistakenly identified with Catholic schools are in growing numbers slipping out of our fingers and going to be trained elsewhere. They are, by all odds, God's chosen ones. They are the ones who, in the generations to come, will be setting the policy of our nation. And as common sense, not to say divine grace, should tell us, where there is leadership, we should be. Where there is greatest potentiality, we ought to be around to actualize that potentiality. Whatever sacrifices we make, we may be sure God will bless us. I think 100-fold in the years to come, we'll see some of the practical problems and opportunities in the next conference.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Almighty, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.